And my guest for the balance of the evening is Colin Andrews. For over two decades, he has traveled the world. He's appeared all over the place in TV programs, many symposiums, telling or hoping to explain the mystery of crop circles. Colin, you were telling us about this Operation Blackbird, but I'm sorry, we're not only thousands of miles apart here, but thousands of miles apart in our communicating. I'm not understanding really why this was important. First of all, if you were filming for the first time the self formation of a crop circle, why would anybody submit, you know, replace that tape? But if it was taken from the same angle, what was different between the original and the replacement?
What was different between the original and the replacement? The replacement showed nothing happening. In other words, it showed a night when nothing happened. What happened the night a crop circle formed is it had a crop circle forming on it, and that was not intended, and people behind this, which was totally infiltrated by the military, we had uniformed military personnel with us on the site, as can be seen again on the Blackbird CD. The military, the government, did not intend that material. If we were lucky enough to see this form, they had enough personnel infiltrated into the organization to remove it. In other words, they did not want the public to see what eyewitnesses have seen. That was one of the reasons we were there at Westbury, was that Ray Barnes, a man walking his dog in 81, supporting the fact that I had researched them myself on that same site. Circles had appeared on that site for many years. It's why one of the reasons we were there. But Ray Barnes witnessed a crop circle form in about 10 seconds, like all the other eyewitnesses around the world. And now here we are, lucky enough to get something on tape, and somebody decides, and that is, has to be knelt at the feet of the British government, decide we are not going to be seeing this. That's the importance of it. The importance is to put the pressure on the people that need to have the pressure put on them at this time, is that this is owned by all of us. This is not anything that it should be suppressed or will be suppressed.
So it's sort of like UFOs. A lot of people feel that the government, the United States government in this case, and the British government are suppressing the sightings of UFOs and the information we have.
No question about it. I mean, I don't know. You've almost certainly had Nick Pope on. I went to many meetings with Nick Pope when he was in the Ministry of Defence in Whitehall up in London. And whilst he was working with the MOD, I know he's still employed by them, but when he was in the UFO desk there at Section 2A, he was telling me, and I think he has said publicly since, that 5% of the reports going into the MOD officially from pilots and the public, 5%, this is a large figure in my opinion, were believed to be, having thrown everything at them, satellite and all the other technology that the governments have at their disposal, 5% were probably extraterrestrial. But that's not what they tell the public. The public are just not supposed to know these things.
All right, let's take a brief pause here, take a few phone calls, and then talk more about Operation Blackbird, the forming of a triangle, and also the movie that's going to be made about your life. So we'll get right back to Colin Andrews and your phone calls right after this. Kelly Rose in for Vacationing George Norrie, and my guest is Colin Andrews. Colin, and we have so much more to talk about, but let's take a few calls. Hi, first-time caller line, where are you calling from?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, sir. And your name?
Freeland Neal, N-E-A-L.
Yeah, okay, Freeland. What did you want to ask Colin?
I was in the Silvery Hill Formation in 2004, state, and I saw the crop circle people doing it, and I just wanted to ask him what he thought about, you know, that was one of the famous circles of the year, and I, you know, talked about.
You understand the question, Colin?
Yes, I think I do. Good evening, Freeland. Yeah, that particular design, I was then back in the U.S., so I've got a lot of data about it that was sent over, the aerial photographs and the ground measurements and so on. I didn't personally see that. I did see many others that year. But by what I could see from the aerial photographs and the telltale signs of man-made construction, I know that it would dampen a lot of enthusiasm for me to say this, but I do strongly believe that that was made by people. That based upon only the data that I was given.
Okay, let's go to the wild card line. Where are you calling from, please? Oops, that's not a good one. Let's go here to west of the Rockies. Hi, you're on Coast to Coast.
My question is this. If 80% of these circles are man-made, isn't it highly likely that 100% are?
Well, no is my answer. 20%, of course, ultimately, it could turn out to be that you are right. But that would mean that we would have to call every eyewitness dishonest, that they are not seeing things forming in front of their eyes, that the cameras recording the material that I've just referred to at Blackbird, in fact, was under some illusion and it's something else entirely different. We have to account for the 20%. That's why I'm obviously still here looking at it, is that 20% really do defy logic. When you are able to enter into a rice paddy field without leaving tracks, and you're able to form a geometry without damaging those plants, even oilseed rape and canola plants that bruise very easily, these are things we need to explain away. I mean, if ultimately they are explained away and that people indeed were able to make them without showing these other signs, we then have to account for the magnetometer survey, where we have had designs that the magnetometer results, the distribution of the Earth's magnetic field, is mimicking the actual design of the flattened plants. That's hard to imagine that is possible if it is made by people. We still perhaps have things to learn about flattened plants that indeed supports your statement, but that is where I am at the moment. I certainly don't have evidence that 100% of the 10,500 in the last 2 years in just about every country in the world, in just about all the vegetation in the outback of Australia, and all the things that tend to doubt the fact that 100% are man-made. But it's you would be entitled to come to that conclusion yourself.
Okay. I guess he's gone. All right, let's go to the first-time caller line. Where are you calling from, please?
San Antonio, Texas. Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Well, I have a couple of short questions to ask you. First of all, it's a shape, not exactly a circle, but a couple of years ago, or 3 or 4 years ago in England, there was something that was supposed to be a reply from a message sent in the 70s from the radio telescope in Arecibo, Puerto Rico. That was supposed to be of some alien race claiming, you know, how their composition of the DNA is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This was investigated by a ufologist in Mexico, Jaime Maussan, who apparently went to England, studied the field, and apparently said he found radiation in some parts, and it seemed to be like in binary code, where there was radiation in a small piece, another piece there wasn't.
That's a pretty famous crop circle, Colin.
Yes, and regrettably, once again, I won't be very popular because I have spoken to pilots that flew over those fields or that particular field and saw the developing stages of the construction of that particular design. I frankly will not name the people that I believe I could as having made that pattern. A lot of the effort, a lot of time was put into the research by a lot of credible people like Jaime Maussan, who I have a great respect for in Mexico there. But indeed the research should go on because, you know, if we're embracing the fact that people are making them and why are they making them, et cetera, let's have all the data. But I don't think one should leave out of the equation that it was made by people if the evidence supports that it was. And let me just say that the first the first indication of anything in the field was, in fact, by a farm employee who saw only the grid. In other words, an outline with none of the infilling. This also applied to not a dissimilar design near the radio telescope at Chilbolton a few years earlier. And that also, we had the same information from people who overflew that in other words, it was constructed in stages. This was not a 30-second real event, which certainly all of the eyewitnesses do confirm that we are looking in the real thing at a very rapid construction phase period. But this design that you're referring to arrived in a number of stages because of the complexity and the time required for people to make it. That's why you will tend to find that the very highly complex, requiring time and effort over a long period of time, are extremely remote. They are well away from roads. They are well away from visible advantage points because these people need the time to make them. I'm sorry to sort of dampen the enthusiasm with regard to that particular design, but I'm just reporting simply the facts.
Okay, and I won't name names either, but I did talk to someone who claims to have made it.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that he made it.
No, it doesn't. But you know, Hilly, I was also, as you know, advisor to the Mel Gibson movie Signs, the Disney movie.
Yeah, terrible movie.
A terrible movie. I quite agree. Awful for what they could have done for mankind, even in a movie, to have hinted at some of the real possibilities here. It defies imagination why they wouldn't stick with it. But however, I was, during the period of the run-up to the actual release of the movie, I got an amazing phone call from their PR people, one of the head of the PR for Disney, telling me that their chief guys, the big boys that plan these things and the lead up to them to get the hype, were in fact discussing signing contracts with certain individuals to go out into a number of countries to make intricate designs of faces and things like that. To increase the hype on the crop circles, to feed it in to the signs and to promote signs ultimately a few weeks later. So, it's multifaceted. Wherever humans get involved, they tend to shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, one other thing, this caller talked about radiation. Nothing unusual about radiation being in a crop circle.
No, it's all been done. It has all been done. Unusual isotopes have been found in a whole range of crop designs in southern England. And I think that just stands. They're very unusual isotopes. So it's not new.
Okay, let's move along here. First time caller line, where are you calling from?
Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I was wondering, on the Blackbird project or thing, how many other eyewitnesses were there that would come forward to confirm that it did actually happen?
Well, I can tell you that I saw the original tape, and I think I'm probably one of only three.
Well, forget the tape for the moment. The question really is, did you see it with your own eyes?
To see it form?
Yes.
No, absolutely, I did not. Remember, this was a 10-day operation. We had about 30, I think a few more than 30 individuals involved in manning the operation on 3 8-hour shifts. And I was not. I was in bed that particular night.
Okay. Well, there were people, though, that had to be, because
yes,
I filmed it, who
yes,
saw it
were.
Formed. And so the question is, how many people literally saw it formed?
On the scopes, I believe there were three.
Okay, so that's the answer to the question. So it really happened, in other words. You can verify that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so this disc that you were talking about earlier, does it show this crop circle being formed?
No, okay, I need to go back. I was in too much of a rush, I think, in setting this up. First of all, Hilly, I don't think we've stated what Blackbird actually is.
That's correct.
Blackbird was a surveillance operation in 1990 involving a whole series of high-tech, low-light, image-intensifier cameras pointing down onto fields where there had been a record of not only crop circles reported by farmers, but also eyewitnesses seeing them form. So this was a hot spot where we knew we had a reasonable chance of getting something on film. And this was during summer 1990. And I've actually now forgotten your question, Haley.
Well, you said we did. What Operation Blackbird was?
Yes. Okay. Well, that's what it was. It was a surveillance operation to attempt to catch a crop circle forming
by the government or private?
No. It was set. Well, this is the problem. That's probably why this is not coming across too clearly. It was my idea, set up by Pat Delgado, the co-author of the ex-NASA electromechanical design engineer, who co-authored Circular Evidence with me. He and I suggested to the BBC that we do this. They got in touch with Nippon Television Japan and co-funded. They 10% funded the operation, BBC, 90% from NTV, unbeknown to us. So in other words, this was a private surveillance operation, which was non-public. It was not to be a public situation. We didn't want the problem of having people coming into the area. We wanted to catch a crop circle forming. That's what we were there for. Unbeknown to us, the exact spot that gave us the best advantage point looked to me personally to be public land. I thought it was. I suggested it was my data that chose the site. In fact, it was officially owned by the Ministry of Defense because it's on the boundary, the edge of the largest military exercising and firing ranges in southern England, in Europe, in fact, called Salisbury Plain. But so the Ministry of Defense had to be consulted, and they were, not by me, but by the BBC. What we then found on the first day of the operation, everything set up, everything ready to go, cameras rolling, personnel in position, is we have uniformed military on site. They ask us, two military officers ask us to leave the premises in a vehicle and to discuss certain aspects of the project. And from that was the technical equipment, the technical parameters of the equipment, bringing in their own equipment if we cooperated with having personnel on site. And this is where the whole thing became muddied. We had the Ministry of Defense involved and at many, many levels. So that's where the military became involved. With the site itself, we had photographed, I think this is where this question started, Hilly, some years before, we had photographed, I say we, Busty Taylor, had taken a photograph when we were measuring a simple crop circle on this site years before, and on that photograph, he has captured, and again it's on the Blackbird CD, a white disc, which was not seen by Pat Delgado, myself, or Busty when the photograph was taken. We heard a loud thump. It was just like something breaking the sound barrier, but it was a low thump, like you might hit a hollow box or a desk, just a whoomp like that. We, all of us, were looking at where the sound came from, which was within the crop circle itself. That coincided with Busty taking a photograph pretty well within parts of a second, I think. And on the photograph is this white disc. It's been shown many times before. It's the same spot. It's the same location. So we had many reasons to choose Westbury. There were many even more reasons to choose Silbury Hill. And I think that's probably going to make a whole another program.
All right, Colin. And by the way, was it Silbury Hill that you recorded the first triangle?
Yes, it was.
I mean, this wasn't a circle, this was a triangle.
It was a triangle. It was a triangle that we had, and that is also on that CD. We had a triangle, we had what I would best describe as scrolls, two scrolls, circles connected by scrolling pathways, looping pathways, with the triangle in the center. The military with low-light cameras, and it was only the military that were on that site, they filmed a very bright white light moving across the landscape just south of Silbury Hill. They got it on film, very clear images, which I was shown confidentially, shown that footage, which is owned by the British Army.
Okay, we got to stop here, Colin. We can talk more coming on the other side of the break. Colin Andrews is my guest. I am Hilly Rose, in for George Norrie. And George Norrie will be back with you on Monday, I just found out, from the cave. So look forward to that. We're talking with Colin Andrews about crop circles. It occurs to me, Colin, that there are people listening to us, or maybe they've turned us out by now, who haven't a clue what a crop circle is. Maybe we could just take less than 60 seconds to explain what a crop circle is.
I mean, they haven't been listening for an hour and a half or 2 hours without knowing what one was, I think, or else they have tuned to
say. I've got to tell you, Colin, it disturbs me. My daughter lives in London, actually, in Surrey.
Oh, right.
And, you know, I go there she's been living there for 25 years, for heaven's sakes. And I go there and I say, well, what about, this year's crop circles? And she said, what crop circles?
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
And I say, well, you know, Britain is where all, the bulk of the crop circles are. So certainly, it's in the press.
Yeah.
You must read it in the Times or all the sensational, they have all these sexy newspapers and print all these bare-bosomed ladies. Don't they also print the crop circles? She says, no, I've never seen them.
No, that's right. That's right.
it shocks me. So
yeah, I know it does.
So can we take?
I know it does. More and more people certainly have heard of them. I think it would be fair to say that most people have, but. It still escapes. It depends which newspapers you read, I guess, et cetera, et cetera. But a crop circle is a circular area of in which plants have been flattened, usually spiraled clockwise or anticlockwise, sometimes in both directions in different layers, where the plants are bent over at right angles and are very neatly laid down on the ground. That's how the term, my fame to this, I guess, is the term crop circle came out of my mouth, just simply to describe what ultimately, of course, doesn't describe what it is we're looking at, because now we have these agroglyphs, these large, intricate designs, which are much more than circles. But that's what they are, and they form in many kinds of vegetation, just about everything. And in just about every country in the world.
Well, I know we have some here in the United States, but not very many. I think the bulk of them remain in Britain. Is it because Britain raises so many crops that lend themselves to this, or what?
I don't think we've the answer to that, Haley. I think probably that's not the reason. I think certainly a very powerful correlation in the earlier years when we were looking, I think, more at the real phenomena, the more simple circles. And those simple circles appear in just about every country. They're not those that the media that are that interested in. Indeed, in many cases, the researchers either, because the intricacy has an appeal. But the most of the simple circles in a whole range of countries, a whole number of countries, they tended to be very close to water. There was a correlation of water and archaeological sites in the very close proximity. That doesn't fit every case, but it has been a very powerful correlation. But as far as numbers are concerned, certainly we're looking at still something like 85-90% of the world's total each year is in a very small area. They are across England in general and into Wales and Ireland, but in much lesser numbers outside of that central southern area around Stonehenge, where this large concentration is. That the geostructure, in other words, the ground, the soil, there in central southern England is chalk, which is actually a little unusual. This is a carbonaceous geostructure, which is actually a fossilized sea life. They're fossilized sea life, which ultimately over the years forms chalk. So in other words, this chalk, this material is a sponge which holds vast quantities of water underground. That may or may not be the reason why they're there, a contributory factor, maybe an energy which is available, electrostatic field buildup, perhaps, as a result of the moving contours underground. But we're looking, this year probably reflects the global distribution most years. At the top of the list again this year is the United Kingdom, England specifically, 75. In total, you could run down the list. Germany is not too far behind. Across the water in mainland Europe is running at 25 this year. Three is Italy. You're in Europe again at 17. The USA, I've only on my records, have 10. and this is a very large country. It is, of course, also possible that we're not getting, we don't have the networking because it is such a large country, that many of them go unreported. I'm almost certain that is the case. So it could be 10 reported and 100 on the ground. Who really knows? Poland at nine, and we run down through them where the numbers get much less. But Canada is covered, the Netherlands, Czechoslovakia, Slovenia, Switzerland, Sweden, Belgium, Mexico, Russia, and Austria, and I could go on. But these are lesser numbers.
And probably China.
Yes, indeed, China.
They're just not reported.
The Red Army have reported them.
Really?
Yes.
I just flashed in my mind, is there any correlation you think that Britain has so many because of the ley lines there?
That's a very interesting question. And I won't be able to give you an answer. I don't think anybody will. But dowsing, which seems to be the only tool, which of course is controversial, but it works. I've doused myself. And of course, the ancients always did. That's how they found their water. That is the tool, the only tool that I'm aware of, that will actually specifically locate an energy line, which we call a ley line. You can see from these same alignments that the ancients used those lines that you can pick up on by dowsing to place churches and other burial grounds. And yes, I think there is a possibility that an invisible matrix that the Earth itself has inbuilt. We don't know whether that is manipulated into position by man-made constructions or other processes, or whether it is a natural matrix system of a living planet. It's a very interesting and diverse subject, but ley lines certainly are something that exists in that central southern area very extensively. There are many of them that connect these ancient sites. And that's indeed where these crop circles are forming.
All right, I want to wrap up the story of Blackbird. I want to talk about this year's crop circles. I want to talk about the movie that's going to be made about your life. There's just a lot of things I want to talk about. So give me just a couple of moments, and we'll continue with Colin Andrews. Billy Rose in for Vacationing George Norrie, and my guest, Colin Andrews. Colin, again, so much to talk about. I know that you, at the conference in San Francisco, you talked for some 2 or 3 hours about Operation Blackbird. I know you're going to be speaking again at Laughlin, Nevada in, I guess, February is the conference?
Yes, that's right.
And you'll be talking there for 2 or 3 hours. So we can't, you know, tell the whole story here, and I think we've pretty much, you know, covered the highlights of it, but I want to move on to other things. So is there something left unsaid about this that you want to get out?
Well, there is a very important part of it, which I don't think we need to talk about it now, but I think it needs to be defined as being there, Hilly, and that is the background and circumstances related to the so-called Blackbird hoax. We've talked about a secret operation at a secret venue, Silbury Hill. We've talked about the event that appeared, the circle, the complex design that appeared on the very first night that was put down as being a hoax simply to rubbish the whole thing. And we've talked about a real event on the night of the 3rd, 4th at that same public site. But what we've not talked about is I need to be sure that the public know that it's there, and I will go into in Nevada in detail, is the circumstances surrounding the creation of the so-called Blackbird hoax. It's a much bigger story than that. It simply isn't just a hoax. There's a story here which has been checked out in detail by a man who claims to have been involved with entities that it's a bizarre, crazy story, but it has been checked out. It's been, and I can give the backup to this.
And is that on your website or?
It is on the Blackbird CD, and obtaining access to that, I think if we have a second, I think I need to do this, because I've laid myself somewhat open here tonight, and there's more to say. But for anybody who wants to really see the background to this, they do need to go to the website, print the page that the coast-to-coast button will take them to, and there they will see, and it's available to them, the assessment CD, which is the information in the background to the real versus the hoax. The Blackbird CD is there with the backup to what I've referred to tonight. Every image that has appeared on the planet is in the catalog, the Andrews catalog, and the Ministry of Defense own photographs, and the police their own photographs, and the photographs from 1983 right through to the 2004 is on the Cosmic Artist CD. So they have a wealth of information and the background to statements that I've made tonight.
Okay, so you're saying it's a big mystery, but it has to do, bottom line, with extraterrestrials.
I think that's where we are, that there is a not a well-defined line between our minds, the way that our mind functions, the reason that we're here, the plan, the overall plan, where we are all going, and the extraterrestrial involvement. These lines are not at all well-defined. And we must keep the parameters wide, but the bottom line, as in all things human beings do, if we are intended to grow as spiritual people, we must deal with the truth. As hard as it hurts, as deeply as it hits into our ego, it's the truth that will see us through this. If we continue to put in manipulated disinformation, mistruths, we will not make it.
Well,
we will not make it, and it's in the subject, Hilly. This is the crop circle phenomena has been given its own biosphere, which is it is easier to look at the human input, the honesty and the dishonesty within the confines of the subject, but it mirrors what's happening in the world. And here we've been given an opportunity to get it right and to witness what happens when we come through it with the truth. These examples of circles forming when you ask for them come only from an absolute base, genuine truth, a seeking the truth with disclosures of the truth. I'm rambling on a little here and in trying to say what I'm getting across here, but that really is my bottom line. It has shown me is that we have the ingredients that's happening in the wider world within the confines of a single subject. I've seen this thing grow, and this is where this movie, I think, and I do hope, at the 11th hour, is going to give us something to... it's going to give us an opportunity to see the full extent of the military involvement, the intelligence services, the people involved, and the phenomena itself. The story needs to be told.
Documentaries
have not done it.
Are you talking about circular evidence here?
I'm talking about the new movie that's being written right now and will be made by Renegade Pictures very soon.
All right, well, as long as we've raised it, I was going to talk about that in the next hour, but let's talk about it now. This is a movie of your life, is it correct? It's not just about crop circles.
Well, it's really the other way around, Hilly. They have used me. The executive director and joint owner of Renegade Pictures, Wood Dickinson, with his co-owner and filmmaker, Rich Ambler, they're well known in the movie business. They have been researching, have been interested in, and like much like pretty much just all of your listeners tonight, I would imagine, interested in the crop circle phenomenon. They've studied it. They've looked at the people. They've been quietly in the audiences at lectures around the world. They've studied it. And they feel now that they want to tell the story. They want to put it across, though just as Signs and Disney didn't, they intend to. And they were looking at individuals and ways they could do this, of hoaxers versus researchers, or how they would actually bring it together. And so they finished up, unbeknown to me, in fact, in the same audience that you were in, Hilly, at that last conference down in San Francisco, was the executive director. I didn't know that, but he made his final decision that he would use my life as a way of telling the story, because he has seen how my life has been changed and impacted, good and bad, for over 20 years. And this, he feels, is the way to tell the story.
I don't want to get too personal here, but since it's going to be in the movie anyway, how has this impacted your life?
Just at every level, Hilly.
A matter of your marriage? Your wife just didn't believe in the things that you believed in, or
that is part of it. Yes, it was a 22-year marriage which disintegrated finally, with I guess the time and the effort and the focus that I placed upon this subject, with the TV crews that were daily in our home. And slowly breaking it apart with large equipment coming and going. And then we had these intruder alarms, which a movie has already been made about, these intruder security alarms going off in our home at the same time every night. Totally bizarre. Infrared detectors, microwave detectors, waking us all up. The police being called automatically on automatic dialers. Since I began to research the phenomena, it began one night when I brought samples back to the home, and it went on for two continuous weeks, and this finally did it. This was enough, and I was given basically the two options of it's me or it's it. I was too deeply involved in the research to let it go. It was a final disintegration, and that saw my marriage gone. I had very, very close professional relationships, obviously, in my government job, and distancings definitely took place as I appeared more and more on television and radio talking about the mysterious crop circles and UFOs and things that we were seeing and finding. And there was a distancing there, and eventually I was told that you know, three-quarters of the phone calls, even though I was a senior officer there, that are coming into this building are for you, and it's crop circles, it's not the business of local government. And you really, it's time, I think, you need to start making some choices. And it went on like this, right the way across the board. It was affected at every level, and I left my country eventually and to a new and happy marriage here in the United States. To Cynthia, you know, up on the East Coast here.
Sounds to me like you're other directed too. Meaning
at times I wonder. I mean, it's another program, Hilly. But yes, I do feel at times that it does feel that way. I've been led to certain individuals magically, to the indigenous people. I've felt not only an affinity, but. You know, if I feel that that they should be given input somehow or other, we seem to find the right people very quickly. They seem to step in front of us. I had a feeling of, in fact, it was not more than a feeling. When Pat Delgado and I walked down the street in central London into Bloomsbury's publishing house in 1989, we knew we had a best-selling book and circular evidence. There's some things you know, and we did. And we said to one another as we walked, a movie will be made of this. This subject is important. It impacts at the deepest level. That a movie will be made. And I knew a movie would be made. And this, my very last public appearance, as you know, was in San Francisco. I've now since been asked to do more because of Blackbird. But that was my very last appearance in 22 years. And in the audience is the movie maker. And that's how it keeps on going.
Now, this, you know, a lot of movies are supposed to be made but don't get made.
No.
Is this one really going to get made?
Well, I've signed contracts. That's as much as I can really say. It's being written. This is the project. It's on their website. It's planned to happen. But you are right. The movie business is, indeed, even when they've got it in the can, I've already did a movie with Britain, A Place to Stay, which... was a British movie filmed in the can, appeared at Cannes and at the Sun. I can't remember the big film festival now, Sundance. But however, it didn't get released. So I hope this will, and it's intended to.
All right, Colin, thank you very much for telling us about this. I want to find out in the next hour. about the crop of circles from 2005, a number of other things about your selling your database. I want to find out about that. And we'll take lots more phone calls. So stick with me, please, folks. This is Hilly Rose sitting in for Vacationing George Norrie.